Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Qadira Aisha Muhammad on Blog Talk Radio for Religion Means Alive. Today's date is February the 6th, 2016. And tonight's title and topic is African-American Muslims versus Muslims. Not in the context that you may think, but the subtopic is, do the issues that affect us as African-Americans affect us as well as Muslims, First and foremost, I want to give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing me to see another day. I thank Allah for giving me use of all my faculties, being able to see, speak, hear, touch, smell. Excuse me, too often we take, think that these things are, you know, just supposed to be given to us every day, and they're not. So we should be eternally grateful to Allah Azza wa Jalla for those things, and keeping Allah first and foremost in our lives. The reason why I picked this topic, not only because we're in the month of Black History Month, but we should honor our heritage every day of the year, not just during Black History Month. There have been so many African-Americans that have, and non-African-Americans that have died to give African-Americans their freedoms and their rights. Things that we could never repay them back for. And if we lived in those days and times, I don't think some of us would be as strong and courageous as they were. So the path that they laid down for us, you know, to respect is a great one, is a great one. And, you know, they opened the door for a lot of us to accomplish certain things, also with the guidance and permission of Allah, that these things took place. But as African Americans and being Muslim in the United States, do we think that we have come a long way, or do we think that we are where we need to be at as a people of this country who are not a minority, but we are the majority? Do we think that becoming Muslim added more stigmatism to us, or has it taken some away? And that is the real reason for me doing the show tonight, because, you know, I know that in Islam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated in his last speech to the people that no Arab is better than a black, and no black is better than an Arab. However, people let a lot of their culture, cultural influence, affect them. So, you know, like when people see, you know, African Americans are Muslims, nine times out of ten, they associate us with the Nation of Islam. Even Arab Muslims, even Muslims from different countries, even Muslims from Africa don't necessarily equate us to being able to be on that level as a Muslim who follows the Quran and follows the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They really don't. They really don't. And I'm telling you this firsthand because that, you know, oh, I'm not African-American, and, you know, you tell them where you're from, they relax. The level of, okay, I don't have to cover up what I say anymore. Okay, and they call us non-Muslims. They call us not Muslims. They say you're not Muslims, you're Kafirs, and y'all just put the clothes on and y'all dress like Muslims, but y'all don't have the true path. And that's very upsetting. That's very upsetting because my children, born and raised Muslim in America, born and raised Muslim in America, and to have people say to them and their friends who are also born and raised in Islam in America, to have people say to them that you're not a real Muslim, like what does it take to be a real Muslim? From what I understand and what I read, if I took my shahada, I'm Muslim. I didn't pledge my allegiance to someone else. I pledge my allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I acknowledge that his prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the last prophet and messenger of Allah. I believe that. My children believe that. So for you to say that I am not Muslim because I'm here in America is very hurtful. And not all Muslims that are here follow the Nation of Islam. Because, you know, when they see us, black Muslims born and raised here in America, they automatically equate us with being from the Nation. That we think that all white people are blue-eyed devils and lived in caves and, you know, all that good stuff. Well, not so good stuff. And that's very hurtful. And, you know, it's like being an African-American and being Muslim is very difficult to do in this day and time. You know, we still have to go through the whole fight because, you know, they don't think that Barack Obama is a Christian. You know, he's a black Muslim. And, you know, they teach hate and this is what they believe. And that's not what we believe. And, well, I can't speak for anybody else. I'm speaking for myself. That's not what I believe. And that's not what I taught my children. And my children don't believe that. We believe that if you recite the Shahada, if you claim that Allah is your God and that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is your prophet and messenger, then you're good. And you're going to be treated as such. You know, I've had times and situations where I'm riding in the cab. I hail a cab or whatever. And the cab driver actually said, you're not a real Muslim. And I was like, astaghfirullah. He said, oh, you know how to say that, huh? And I'm like looking at this dude like, yo, fear Allah, dude. Fear Allah. Don't start with me. And then he's like, if you're really Muslim, recite the Al-Fatiha. Because he wants to see if I know it, to show that I'm a real Muslim. This is what people do, because they don't think that African-Americans can be Muslim. So I recited to him, and I said, is there any other surah you would like me to recite for you to prove that I am Muslim? I mean, really? But I'm not asking you, are you a real Muslim when I see those lottery tickets sitting in your feet. I'm not asking you, are you a real Muslim because you, you know, you're smoking cigarettes. So why should you base my Islam on what I look like? African American and being Muslim is 10 times harder than what a lot of people think. A lot of people don't get it, and they'll never get it. They'll never be able to fully understand what comes with that. And because this is my belief. This is my belief. I'm not saying it's written nowhere, and I'm not saying nobody said it. This is my belief, and this is my statement. You look like, you'll get treated like what you look like. So I don't care if you're a black Haitian, you're a black African, you're a black Canadian. In the United States, you're going to be treated as a nigga, somebody with no respect that they believe is a monkey that lived in the jungles of Africa. This is what they believe we are. They believe that we're not intelligent, that we're stupid, we're ghetto, we're feeble-minded. This is what they think of us. And foreign Muslims think of us that same way, too. They fail to realize that one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Bilal, radiallahu anhu. And he was given the job and duty of calling the adhan before the prayers. He was freed from slavery from his captors and made a free person by the cutter of a law. If black people were to be kept on that level, the cutter wouldn't be the way it is. And it's not always man that does stuff. And it's not always the devil, the shaitan, that does stuff. You know, you are responsible for your inner demons, so sometimes it is you. And sometimes it is the shaitan. But we as Muslims who recite the Shahada, the declaration that we pledge our allegiance to Allah, it's not just for Arabs, it's not just for Indians, it's just not for Africans, it's not just for Canadians or Caribbeans or South Americans, it is for all of mankind. And we have it 10 times harder than I think of any Muslim. First and foremost, this is one of the reasons why a lot of us in my age range are not Muslims born into Islam. A lot of us grew up and we were raised in a time where, you know, the change was about to happen as far as equal rights for black people here in America. We were born during that time. A lot of my kids, and I say kids because my kids' friends and so forth and so on, they don't even know when racism is being inflicted upon them. They don't even know this. And I'm going to give you a prime example of how they don't know, and this is something that, you know, they're teaching our children to be, I want to say, remain ignorant of the fact that racism still happens. And now, not only being African-American, we have the stigmatism of being Muslim as well. So we catching it from all ends. We catching it from all ends. And people don't understand this, understand that it affects us a great deal. So the situation that I was going to explain to you was, it was me, my children, and their friends. We had went on vacation to Myrtle Beach. And my girls were still young, probably like 12 and under. And my kids have never experienced racism, first and foremost. And this is one of the reasons why I would never go back to Myrtle Beach. I would never take my family back to Myrtle Beach. My kids were down at the pool. And they came back upstairs, and they were like, "Mom, my kids go to school with a majority of Caucasian children and kids from all different races and ethnic backgrounds. So they're used to not, you know, being around people of different colors and cultures and things like that. They're not ignorant to that fact. So, you know, they were cool with being around, you know, Caucasian people. They had no problem with it. They came up to the room and said to me and my husband, all the white kids got out the pool because they said it was an oil spill." And my husband was livid. So my kids are asking, like, "Mom, why would they say it was like an oil spill? That's why they got out the pool." So I was like, I had to sit down and teach my kids about racism at that point. And they was like, "Well, why would they say it? Like, your skin color don't rub off and, with, you know, be in the water or whatever like that." And I said, "I know that. You know that. But their hate and their ignorance forbade them to understand that." And, you know, my kids just shook it off. My kids just shook it off like, you know, "Oh, it wasn't a big deal," but that really hurt me that my kids had to experience that. And then my kids was like, "Yeah, Mom, they had the Confederate flag. One girl had it, like, the flag on, she had it on her bikini, and the other boy had it on his swim trunks." I said, I had to explain to my children what that meant. So my kids, being African-American and being, you know, Muslim, it's a double whammy against them. It's a total double whammy. is a total double whammy against them. And people don't understand the struggle African Americans have to go through in America. And now, with terrorism and the way that terrorism has been, you know, in the limelight regularly, almost often, I noticed one thing, that, you know, the wage of war against Islam is not just against Arab or Middle Eastern Muslims. And let me tell you why. Because the powers that be know that Islam is for everybody. And if, you know, the war on Islam or the war that they're trying to portray Islam to have against all people, then they have to make all people look like Muslims. So now when you see the Jihad James, oh, they're white Muslims. Or you see the things that have been going on with the boy Ahmed. He's a brown person. He's a brown Muslim. So, you know, now even in Philly, what was it, a couple weeks ago, the black guy who was Muslim shot at the cop. So now, you know, here in America, and I tell people this, you will never, if you are not black and you do not live in America, you will never understand what we have to go through on a daily basis. And people, you know, from other countries, you will never understand this. You will never understand this. I don't care how much you try, how much you learn, how much you study, you will never, ever be able to have that in-depth understanding of what racism in America is. Now, the only way that you would be able to understand it is if you are a dark-skinned person that looks like an African-American that lives in America. So say like you was born and raised in the Sudan. You're a dark-skinned African, and you moved to the United States. Trust and believe. They're not going to say, sir, what country are you from? Oh, you're from the Sudan? Oh, you're not American? Oh, okay, we're not going to harass you. If you look like a nigga, you're going to get treated like one here. And that's just a simple fact of the matter. That's what's going to happen. And because you were not born and raised in this country, you won't probably know how to react to that. You probably won't understand it, and you probably won't understand how to react to that. If the cops whoop your behind, you're going to be like, well, what did I do wrong? You did absolutely nothing. You're just black and a male, and you're in America. That's it, people. We can sugarcoat this. Oh, we got equal rights. Oh, this is not cool. It's bull crap. It's bull crap. Being African-American, being Muslim, 10 times harder for us here in America. Amongst ourselves, it's hard because people who are Muslim from other countries, they don't want us over there in their country. They don't want us over there because, first and foremost, what did I tell you earlier? They don't even consider us Muslim. They want to test us on if we can recite the Shahada, if we can recite, you know, a surah from the Quran, that determines that, oh, yes, we're really Muslim. Like, that's fuck the law. No Muslims from other countries have to go through that. No Muslims, if you were a Canadian Muslim and you went over to Egypt somewhere or wherever, have you, they wouldn't ask you to do that. They wouldn't dare ask you to do that. They wouldn't even ask a Caucasian Muslim from the United States to do that. My cab driver, when he heard me recite the Shahada and then recite the Al-Fatiha, he was like, oh, you're really Muslim. What did you just think, that I got a scarf on my head and a abaya on? Like, okay, and I just greeted you to greet you? Like, I mean, what did you think I was? And I didn't have on tight-fitting clothes or, you know, hijab half off of my head. I had it as it's supposed to be worn, I had a abaya on that was on the way it's supposed to be on, loose fitting. So I didn't give you no inclinations that I may have, you know, not really been Muslim. But this is the test that African Americans go through being Muslim in America. You know, I was watching Steve Harvey the other night, and it's just something about these talk shows that, you know, piss me off when, you know, they want to talk about Islam on their TV shows, but they never portray who the majority of Muslims are here in the United States. It's not Arabs. It's not nobody foreign. African-American Muslims make up the majority. We are the top percentile of Muslims here in America. None of these TV shows ever ask us to come on their show. Why? I'm going to tell you real quick. Because, and I'm not saying all, but non-black Muslims don't do everything that they're supposed to do. And it makes Islam look lenient. Like, oh, it's just a game. Oh, they just cover. And I'm going to give you an example why. On that show, they had a sister who was fully covered, stayed fully covered. Then we had a sister on there who family, you know, had the American flag in front of their house. She put hijab on when she was in the masjid. When she came out, she took it off. She had a short dress on, and I'm talking about fitted. You could see her breasts. You could see the shape of her thighs, and it came to her knee. She took her hijab off. She had false eyelashes. She had a wig on. When she introduced the girl who she took to the masjid, when she took her to the masjid, she took her back to her home. You know, half her family members weren't covered. And I'm talking about women. They weren't covered. Shaking hands with the men and all this and that. That is not Islam. But these TV shows do that to water Islam down. Why won't y'all have African Americans? Like, I'm pissed at Steve Harvey for that. Like, you black, and you know, he said, oh, nowhere in the Quran does it teach hate. Nowhere in the Quran does it say do this. Absolutely not. But reflect what resides here in America. And the percentage of African American Muslims outweigh any Arabs here. And we are not all with the nation. We don't believe in that. We believe in La ilaha illallah. That's what we believe in. But they never portray us. Why? Because we adhere to what true Islam says. You know, I look at some of these foreigners. They would do anything. They would kill their mothers to get over here and be in this land while we are trying to get out of here. While we are trying to get out of America. America holds nothing for me. If I was able to make Hijra tomorrow, I would. They want to come over here, and I'll give you a prime example. They want to come over here and do illegal, illicit things. Sell tobacco products. Sell lottery tickets. Sell alcohol. Like a football. Like, you know, do you think that your Islam stops once you get out the airport? Do you think that Allah tells the angel on the left to stop writing? Do you think that, you know, all your sins and deeds are only recorded when you're doing something good? You know, it's a store up the street from me. And, you know, I go there because they sell halal meat. And they sell a lot of other products that I like that I need for when I cook because, you know, they have a lot of different spices and stuff like that. And the store still sells cigarettes, but when the masjid opened across the street, they stopped selling lottery tickets. They stopped selling lottery tickets. You know gambling is haram. You know gambling is haram. But it took a masjid being built across the street for y'all to stop, because now people who are coming out the masjid are coming there because they sell sweets and other things in the store. So after, you know, Juma, on Fridays, they're coming to the store to patronize, and now it's a bad light. But why wouldn't you stop selling it before the masjid was here? But then you look down on us, black American Muslims like we're trash. And when we try to uphold the tenets of Islam, you look down on us. You degrade us. We're not Muslim enough for you. No, we're too Muslim. It's not too religious. It's not being overzealous. You can't water down Islam and pick and choose. It's not a buffet. You can't pick and choose what you want to do and what you want to say. For example, I got a lot of things that I need to work on with myself. I would never, never as a Muslim point the finger at my brother or sister who's doing the exact same sin that I'm doing and call them out on it. I would never do that. That's a hypocrite. I know what I struggle with internally, so if I see my brother and sister doing that, I'm not going to judge them on that. I'm going to call them to it and say, look, you know, this is something that you may need to do or, you know, change or do that or whatever like that. Because I'm not only trying to safeguard myself, I'm trying to safeguard them, but I would not expose them. Especially if it's something that I struggle with. There's a whole hadith on that. People who point the finger at somebody always doing something that they do themselves. None of us will ever be perfect Muslims. But this is something that we have to try to overcome here in the United States. It's so hard. It's so horrible. And, I mean, people don't get it. People don't get it. We are belittled for what we believe in. We are belittled for what we look like. We are belittled for the things that we like to eat. We are belittled for the way we dress. It got no easier for African Americans, and now that you took your shahada, it's definitely not going to be easy. People don't understand. Me dealing with so much stuff throughout the day, you know, first and foremost, I'm a woman. I'm black. I'm Muslim. How much more strikes can I get against myself? How many more strikes can I get against myself? None of these things I can change. Some people say, well, oh, you don't have to wear hijab or a thing. Let me explain something to you. In this day and time, I'm not taking my hijab off to please nobody. Nobody. If you have some type of reasoning or some belief or some feelings behind the hijab that I have to wear, then you're just going to have to deal with it. Because first and foremost, and I said this on another call before, those people who attack Muslims here in the United States know exactly who to do that to. Video on Steve Harvey's show where the Muslim brother was talking about building a masjid and the people stood up and the man turned beet red to say that we are all part of a cult, we all killers, we all hate, you know, people of other faiths and colors and things like that. And, you know, he told them, like, basically, he wanted to strike this man. He wanted to attack this man. He wanted to cause harm and hurt to this man. He did that because he knew this man would do nothing to him. And, you know, me and one of my coworkers, we're really good friends and everything like that. Even outside of work, we're really good friends. And she texted me. She said, yo, did you see Steve Harvey last night? And I said, yeah, I seen it. So, you know, I went to go talk to her for a few minutes or whatever. And, you know, she said, I never knew any other Muslims outside of you. She said, your demeanor and how you carry yourself and how you talk about your religion, I know that you love your religion. And I know that you would never hurt or harm anyone in the name of your religion. And I had to hold back tears because it's people that think that I would really do something like that. It's people that really think that a real Muslim would hurt somebody in that manner. And that is what hurts more, I think, than anything else. You know, she said, yeah, because I was wondering. She was like, I was going to text you last night, but it was kind of late. She said, yeah, I was looking at her like, well, why did she take off all her stuff? She was like, well, you know, you wear, you know, the traditional dress like how the other sister was, but I've never seen you take yours off. She said, I just found that a little strange and weird. And she's like, I was going to ask you about that. I said, no, we're not supposed to take it off. And I said, if we were in our home, yes, we could take it off, but not with cameras and everything else going on. And I said, the way she was like, yeah, I've never seen you wear any tight clothing or anything like that. So I'm glad that she came to me, felt comfortable enough to come to me to ask me, you know, is this something that is permissible? And I said, absolutely not. And, you know, not only did Steve Harvey do that, Dr. Phil did that as well. Y'all bring these liberal, passive Muslims, and, again, they want to water down the religion. Clearly stated what a man and a woman is supposed to do, how they're supposed to conduct themselves, what they're supposed to wear, what they're supposed to eat. It did not say it stops when you come out the masjid. It did not say once you take, you finish your salat, that you take your hijab off and go outside half naked. It doesn't say that. It's not being extreme when you pray five times a day. One thing that I notice about African-American Muslims is that we strive harder. We strive harder in the cause of Allah than anybody else. Why? Because we have that emptiness inside of us, first and foremost, that we were lied to about religion. Christianity, and, you know, for whoever's listening on the call, if I got, you know, non-Muslim people listening on the call tonight, this is something that needs to be heard. Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has been mentioned in the Bible numerous times. Numerous times. We have been lied to. Christianity was never for us. Never for us. The slaves that were brought here from Africa were of two religions. First, Muslim. First, we were Muslim. Or second, they were practicing Obeah, or voodoo, as you may know it. Those were the two religions. They concocted the story of Christianity to control you. Slaves were beat when they were caught making salat. Watch Ruth. Slaves when they talked in Arabic because they couldn't understand it. And all we are looking for as African-American Muslims is peace in our hearts because we have never had it. Black men are being slaughtered left and right. And again, nothing against nobody else, but you will never, no, I don't even care if you have people of different races and cultures in your family. I have them. And this is my stance. You can't understand that because you don't have to feel that. You will never know what that hate feels like from someone else. You just won't. You can agree with it. You can side with it. You can try to understand it to the best of your ability, but you will never have that sickness in your stomach when someone is racist towards you because of your skin color. I remember when I was 13 years old, I was working a summer job, and a little boy, no more than 6, 7 years old, said to me, I don't have to listen to you, you black B nigger. I don't have to listen to you. I kindly went to the head of the program, and I explained to her what happened. she was Caucasian, the little boy was Caucasian. She said, absolutely, we will not tolerate this kind of language. We will not tolerate this, you know, him speaking to you like this. And I said, okay, so, you know, what is the next step? Now I'm 13 years old. I was very hurt by that because I never had nobody call me something like that to my face, and especially from a child. So when a little boy's parents came up there, oh, we don't teach them that, we don't know, like, you really want me to believe that? You really want me to believe that you're not teaching him this in your home? You really want me to believe that? Where is he at 6 years old that he's not learning that at home? Not once did his parents tell him to apologize to me. The camp director told him to apologize to me, and he refused. And she kicked him out. Not once did either his mother or his father say, why would you say that to her, apologize to her? Not once. So what does that let me know? That's something that he's been taught at home. Now, I went to school in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia school district system. I went to schools in Philadelphia. And in sixth grade, I was part of the desegregation program in Philadelphia because the schools in the greater Northeast were not segregated. There were no black kids that went there. So this was a good experience for me, very good experience for me, because I went and I was bused and I went to school with white kids. I'd never, you know, been in the classroom when I was in elementary and middle school and high school. You know, I was in classrooms with white children. And at first, I didn't know how that was going to be because I heard the horror stories that my father went to living down south and different things that went on. Like, you would have to literally sit your sons down and tell them, if the police stop you, don't question them. Don't look them in the eye. Answer yes, sir, to them and things like that, you know. I never had to experience that, but once I went to school out there, I didn't really come up against too many people that didn't like black people, because remember, we're still kids. It was one or two, like my parents told me not to play with y'all and all this and that. Yeah, I went through that, but to have someone call me a nigger to my face and it's a child, it's a whole different experience. And no, we shouldn't use that word. We shouldn't use that word in typical conversations, but we do, but it's not meant in that connotation. And again, no, we shouldn't use that word. But when people say things, they know how to use it, and they know when they're using those types of words, they're using it to be malicious. And that's the difference. Adding Islam into this already touchy thing that a lot of people don't understand and don't understand why we accepted it. When I accepted Islam, I didn't think of, you know, people were going to hate me and the things that I had to experience as being Muslim. I remember not too long after 9/11, I was walking under the concourse in Broad Street. If anybody knows about Philadelphia's, like, subway system, you can walk all underground. And I was walking from 15th to Market, and I was walking to my employer's building because you can walk straight underground. And I used to work from home, so I had, like, a pulley briefcase that I would put my laptop in and my work and stuff that I would bring, you know, home from the previous day. And two sector cops rolled up in their little golf course cart, and they were black. They were black cops, two black cops. They stopped me and said, I hope you don't have weapons of mass destruction in that briefcase. I hope you don't have weapons of mass destruction in that briefcase. African American. But when I say that being African-American and Muslim is an added struggle, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Because they think that these are the things that we do. You know, people say, oh, y'all need to speak out against terrorism. And let me explain something to you about that. I'm going to just touch on that real briefly. But before I do that, if anybody has a comment, question, or concern, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. People will pick and choose what they want to believe, but like to remain ignorant. Those who stuff the cops did not look at me and say, oh, she's just a black woman who's Muslim. They didn't look at me like that. They thought it was funny. So for you to forget that if you were walking down the street and someone just attacked you because you're black, that would have been okay. I mean, what gave you the right to think that you could attack me because I'm a black Muslim? What gave you the right that you felt as though that you could do that to me? You know, it's definitely not an easy job being Muslim in today's society. I mean, as a black Muslim, we get it from all angles. I mean, we just get it. We get it from everywhere, from anything, just all the time. And there's nothing that we can do about that. It's a struggle that we have to experience, and only we can educate others on that and try to correct that within ourselves. No matter who it is, they're always going to look at us like this. They're always going to put that stereotypical label on us. They're always going to think that we are less Muslims because we were not born Muslim or born into from an Arab country. But this is just pure ignorance, because we know that the largest population of Muslims aren't even Arab. It's Indonesian. And second, it's African. And third, it's Arab. They even think that, you know, our children who are born and raised in Islam aren't Muslims either. I mean, what? I may do a show on this too, because this is another topic that I think really needs to be addressed, and that is people who think they are born Muslim have more rights over somebody who is Muslim. Like, you being born Muslim does not give you a pass to automatically go to Jannah. Like, you know, like the Christians think, oh, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior and I'm going to heaven. And y'all are going to hell because y'all don't believe that. Being born Muslim doesn't give you a pass. You being a hostage of the Quran doesn't give you a pass. It takes, and this is what a lot of people forget, as African-American Muslims who reverted from Christianity, this is the key difference between Christianity and Islam. Christianity is a faith of declaration. Islam is a faith, is a faith of do. Christians believe, like I said, Jesus died for my sins. He's my Lord and Savior. I believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'm going to heaven. Muslims know that you have to earn. You have to earn Jannah. It's not going to be given to you. It's not going to be given to you just because you recited the Shahada or you were born Muslim. It's not going to be given to you that easy. You got to work for it. You got to earn your keep. You got to seek tawbah with Allah. You just can't you just can't say, oh, okay, I'm Muslim, I don't pray, I drink, I party, I do whatever, but I'm still going to dinner because I'm Muslim. You better hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you an ounce of mercy that you get there. That's another thing. Just because you was born in a country that is under Sharia law, or your parents are second, third, fourth generation, or your whole family has been Muslim from day one, I give you a pass. So don't look down on African Americans, because we're striving harder to be the Muslims that Allah said we should be, that is listed in the Quran and the Hadith. We're striving for that. I see we got somebody with a comment, so I'm going to put you through. Thank you for joining Religion Means a Lot.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Hey.
This is my first time calling in.
I'm fine. It's my first time calling in, but I'm enjoying it.
Okay,
and
thank
everything
you.
Everything you're seeing is, it's, you know, true. And like your coworker said, you are such a beautiful person.
And you definitely is
about your religion. You really love your religion, just like some of other Muslims love to be Muslim. I mean, you know, our religion. But like you said,
right,
about the little boy calling you the nigga, like, no, his parents should have made him apologize to you. Because for one,
right,
you was an older child to him, and
right,
all you was doing was what you was told to do. So that was not nice at all. But I just wanted
right
to call
right
you and, you know, and show my support.
No,
I knew you didn't know I was going to do it, so it was a little surprise.
I know, she cried.
So
I appreciate it.
You know, you got always got your dick. So have a good night. Call me when you're done, inshallah. That's all right,
inshallah. Walaikum salam. I appreciate my listeners. I really do love you guys. You know, like I said, a lot of the topics and things that I do come from stuff that you asked me to talk about to get more information on, because, it's, you know, these are issues and concerns that we have to address in our daily lives. It's definitely not easy for us. It's definitely not easy for us. And, you know, these are all tests from Allah. And only the strongest people are going to be able to survive it and get through it. And one thing that we should do is we should come together and show our support and band together, because there's strength in numbers. You know, like, we are so divided as an ummah right now. We are so divided that I have never seen such division, this hurtful, to hear some of the things that, you know, the brothers and sisters have to go through and go through against each other when we all claim that we believe in Allah and His messenger. Like, the actions just don't reflect that. And just because I wasn't born Muslim, and just because my parents don't come from a Muslim country, and I'm a revert to Islam, doesn't make my Islam less than yours. You know, no one will enter paradise with the arrogance the size of a mustard seed. You cannot be arrogant in this religion or boastful or haughty. You can't do these things in Islam. And when you do, that's a mark against you, because you're saying that you know better than the law when you want to judge people based on just where they're born or just where they come from. I believe this. This is my opinion. But I believe that the Muslims here, especially African-American Muslims, we strive so hard, a lot of us, we strive so hard to adhere to the Quran and Sunnah. We hold tight to that rope of the law. We definitely do. We hold tight to it, and we just don't dismiss it when we walk out the door or we go to work or we go to school. We don't dismiss it. From the time that we wake up in the morning to the time that we shut our eyes at night, we are Muslim. And we should reflect that in our actions. We should not be, okay, doing this, you know, and for people to see us doing things. And that's another thing that a lot of people show off. You showing off because you got an overgarment? You showing off because you got a throat? Have you given your brother or sister a garment to cover them properly? But you can buy throats and overgarments and inzars and show off, and you ain't never give nobody one of your best items out your closet. How many of you would give your last dollar to someone in need? How many of you? As Muslims, we strive to stay on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. We strive very hard, but sometimes we fall off. But the key here is if you fall off, you can try to get back on that path. It's not lost. It's not lost. You don't have to keep saying, oh, you know, oh, I'm a backslider. We don't do that in this land. We don't do that. Oh, you know, I have people call me and say, oh, I got to take my shahada again. I took it three other times because I fell off my deen. No, we don't do that. No, we don't keep giving you your shahada. You take your shahada once and you're good. What you need to do is make toba to Allah to ask him to forgive all your past transgressions and do it with a sincere heart. That's another show I'm going to do on a day and time. So many things of bidah that we want to put into this religion, and a lot of it comes from us being African Americans. We want to pull that dunya into the religion, and it's bidah. We can't do that. I mean, I see it every day. If you want to be about this life, be about this life. Don't just pick and choose when you want to do this and do that. You have to do it steadfast, be steadfast, and do it. Don't fall off. Again, I'm going to open up the call. If anybody has comments, questions, or concerns, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1. If you are streaming live via the Internet, you can go to the chat box and you can type in your question. And what will happen is I will see the box pop up and I'll be able to read your question while we're on the air. If you are listening to this as a playback after this date and time, unfortunately, I won't be able to do the chat because we're not live. So that chat box is only available when we're on live. And if you have any other questions, I'll follow up with you later to provide you with the details on how you can get in contact with me. As African Americans and being Muslim, I think the one thing that we can do to strengthen our faith here in America is stop being so divided amongst ourselves, first and foremost. I'm not even talking about amongst other races and cultures and things like that. We got to strengthen our relationships within each other. No, everybody ain't right. And that's what we have to understand sometimes. Everyone is not going to be right. Everything that you believe in how you do things is not how the next person is going to do it. But does that prevent you from being a human to that person? You know, people ask me all the time, like I tell people all the time, if I was in a situation and I seen someone attacking, you know, a Jewish woman or a Christian woman, I'm going to stand up for you. And I'm going to try to protect you and keep that person from harming you. But would they do the same for me? I doubt it. And the reason why I would do that is because Allah says there's blessings in it. If you protect someone, if you protect somebody's life, you save their life, Allah will bless you immensely for doing that. He didn't say whether or not you was a Jewish, black, white, you know, Indian, Arab. He didn't say that. He said a life. You will be blessed for saving a life. I'm not a person that's going to sit back and let somebody be picked on. And I've always been like that because I was bullied in school. I was bullied very badly. I'm not a sister that sits back and let people talk not going to sit back and let somebody do that to another human being, first and foremost. And that's just me. And anybody who knows me knows that's my stance. I'm not going to let somebody harm an animal because I know of the hadith of where the prostitute gave the dog water and she was granted Jannah. So if a prostitute could be granted paradise on an action that she did for an animal, why wouldn't I do the same? But we have to have that kind of humanity in our hearts to be able to put a lot of this division and things that, you know, we go on in between our own selves in the African-American community is based on slave-type behaviors. It's based on slave-type behaviors, and we have to get beyond that if we think that we're ever going to make a difference in this country. They look at us as savages. I'm telling you. And I'm talking about who are darker than probably half of us. Look at African Americans as savages. They don't even consider, like, they look at us like animals. But what we have to do is change that type of thinking, and the way that we do that is if we come together and show unity between us, regardless of our differences or our beliefs. We have to come together and show that we can stand in solidarity and persevere in this country. Because, again, I don't want to be labeled some kind of terroristic savage, because that's what they look at us as, terroristic savages, as Muslims. Definitely, definitely a stronger struggle being an African-American Muslim than it is just being an African-American or just being a Muslim. It's a different struggle, and people don't see that or understand that. When you have people who are African-American teasing you because you're Muslim, I remember that happened when my daughter was in school. The boy spit on her and pulled her hijab off because they said she was bald-headed. And she's only wearing it because she's bald-headed. And these are black little boys. I went up to the school because they said, well, they didn't hit her. I said, if all three of those boys are not suspended, we're going to have a bigger issue here. And I want a meeting with their parents. And if I'm not granted this, we're going to have a bigger problem here. Well, anybody knows me knows that I don't play no games with my kids in their education. And if I have to go up to the school district, which they know me well, and the Upper Darby School District, they know me very well, that I will take things so far as to hiring a lawyer. I want a meeting with these students, their parents, and the administrators of this school. And if I don't get it, we're going to have a problem. I was granted that meeting. And I told the parents this. I don't know what kind of home you're bringing your children up in, but if they accost my child again, I will be pressing charges against you. Why? Because this is a learned behavior that they felt as though that they could attack my daughter in the name of her religion, and you seen no harm in that. Parents still didn't want to, oh, y'all think y'all Muslims, this and that. African-Americans, all three boys, African-Americans, and this is how their parents talked to me. So it's definitely a struggle being African-American and Muslim in this country. You know, a lot of people don't understand what we believe. So it's important for us to give dawah to the community. And how do you give dawah? By your actions, how you carry yourself, how you treat people. That's the best dawah to give. Not giving out pamphlets or Qur'ans. I mean, yeah, that helps, but seeing actions. Do you help your elderly neighbors? Do you, are you kind to animals? If not, we're going to always have this struggle, and it's never going to let up. It's only going to get worse. So on that note, I'm going to get ready to end the show. If anybody has a comment, question, or concern, I'll continue to take questions or responses until I conclude the call. You can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1 to speak. And if you're on live now through the web, you can go to the chat box, type in your question, and I'll conclude it. If you want to reach me, you got a question, comment, concern about the show, what I do, what I talk about, any topics you want me to do. We're looking for people to join the Religion Means Alive family. So if you want to have your own show under our format, reach out to me with that. I'm going to be doing some heavy promotion because there's a lot of things that's going on in the community, the Muslim community in Philadelphia within the next couple of months. And I want people to be aware of what's going on in our community, events and things, major events and things that's going on in the community that I want everybody to try to take part in and support. I'm going to have Soulful Hop back on the show. He does the Dean Over Dunya show. He actually just wrapped up completing his movie, Dean Over Dunya, that will be presented at the Pearl Theater in North Philadelphia on Temple Campus. That movie will be showing in March. I don't want to give you all the exact date because I might have it wrong. But he's getting his movie out there, and he's airing it in Philadelphia. The premiere, the world premiere, will be in Philadelphia, and then he's going to do it in other states. Inshallah that, you know, this is a success. And it gives the idea of what African-American Muslims go through living in Philadelphia. And this may be the same thing that goes on in other communities, but this is shedding the light on what he's seen in his community. I got a small cameo role in it. Of course, you know I'm a promoter. But it sheds a light on what we go through every day as Muslims living in the Philadelphia area. There's a couple other events that's going on, sister events and things like that that are important for us to attend, you know, just to show support and also to get some knowledge behind these things because, you know, people take time, effort to put these events together to try to bring harmony and community, the community together. So, you know, it's important that we try to participate in these events if we can, inshallah. So if anybody wants to, you know, reach out to me, you got something going on, event, something you want to talk about on the show, you want me to interview you about something that's going on, feel free to reach out to me, and I'll be happy to air it on the show. You can reach me at 610-836-2120. You can leave a message 24 hours a day. Voicemail is a cell phone. Not necessarily will I pick it up 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, but I'll address your message as soon as, you know, I possibly can. I'll get to it. If you want to reach me via email, you can reach me at qamrma@gmail.com. I'm on all social networks, Facebook, Instagram, Pass, Google Talk, Twitter. You can inbox me, DM me. You can go to the Religion Means Alive page is where I put a lot of the updates and things like that. I want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me courage to do these shows because, you know, it takes a lot. It takes a lot for me to compound what I'm going to speak on and how I am going to present it to the listeners of the show. A lot of these topics and issues that I do address are heartfelt. These are things, situations that I've been through personally, not something, you know, I'm interviewing somebody and I can't understand or relate to their situation. Not the case. I have been in these situations a majority of my time and in my lifetime. I've been through these situations. So they're not just, you know, something I make up or I was feeling, you know, like I wanted to, you know, just do this topic or the show. No, it's something that, you know, hit personally that I wanted to talk about and address. So I thank you for listening to the show. I thank all my participants. I love you guys. You know, without you guys, I wouldn't be able to do the show. And I thank you guys for spreading the word when I see links and things like that that I post on the various pages. I thank you guys for promoting and passing that on and sharing with other people in different groups. So don't think that it's not appreciated. I really do thank you guys for all your assistance and help with I'm trying to do, without how I'm trying to keep things positive in the community. So it's your law. I'll have a show on Monday. I don't know what the topic is just yet, unless somebody changes my mind. I'm just going down the list of topics that people have asked me to do. So, inshallah, I'll follow up with you on Monday. Thank you for listening to Religion Means Alive. Tonight's topic was African-American Muslims versus Muslims. Do the issues that affect us as African-Americans affect us as Muslims as well? Today's date was February 6, 2016. Thank you for listening to the show. Assalamu alaikum and good evening.